Let's just lift up Brother Scotty as he comes to share with us God's message for today. God, I just thank you for my brother, and I pray your anointing upon him. Lord, may he speak your words of truth to us today. May we hear with receptive ears and open hearts the message that you have for us. Lord, we pray your spirit will fill this place and that you'll be glorified this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. Thank you, Brother Mark, for allowing us to come and seek the Lord with y'all today. And me and my wife, we are again very honored to be here with you. You know, I go to so many different states, you know, and a lot of them ask me, and they try to figure out where I'm from. And a lot of them, are you from Kentucky? And most of them say, yeah, amen. I mean, we consider ourselves one of you, amen. Been here for so long, and y'all are very dear to our hearts, amen. And we love y'all, and we just consider ourselves to be at home when we here at Pine. And we thank God for y'all and your continual prayers and involvement of the work. And I thank Brother Mark, and praise God how the Lord is using him here as y'all's pastor to continue to lead you and feed you and guide you and guard you and minister unto you. So I appreciate him and his family, and praise God for you, brother. And we was looking forward to having a meal together and fellowshipping with y'all today, and but we just have to wait till next year, Lord's will. If the Lord don't come between now and then, and we'll be back, and he has a schedule for, it's in September, I think the last week of September next year, and so we're really looking forward to that. Amen. So we praise God for each one of you. We have so many dear friends here, and we hadn't got to see all of you yet, but on the way out, I'll be at the door, come by, and we'll have time to fellowship with you after the services. If you have your Bible this morning, we want to turn to the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's the biblical definition of faith. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. We're saved by faith. We walk by faith. We say we live by faith. We say we're people of faith. And so, with this in mind, let's read Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day when the eve was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your grace that you've allowed us to gather in your house and your name even this morning. And Lord, it's a day that you have made. We're rejoicing. We're glad in it. And Lord, this morning we're asking that the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would just take the Word of God. And Lord, you would expose us to ourselves and let us see how we stand in your holy, righteous presence this morning. Oh God, help us now. We're asking you, Lord, to evangelize the sinner and Lord, encourage the saint. Lord, you know our uprisings, our downsettings. You know all about us. You know our need today. So, oh God, you meet those needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, when you go back to the First Mark chapter 4, and it says in verse 1 that Jesus, there was a great multitude following Jesus, and Jesus got in a boat, and Jesus pushed a little way from the land, and he turned around, and there's a multitude of people there sitting upon the seashore, and his 12 disciples are there, and Jesus begins to teach them about faith. All of chapter 4, Jesus is teaching about faith. And the first thing he does, he begins to teach four parables. And we're very familiar with these parables. The first parable is, he teaches about the sower and the seed. He said a sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Some of the seed fell upon the stony ground. It was not depth of soil. It sprang up, but soon withered away. Some of the seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it out. But some of the seed fell upon good ground, fertile ground, and it produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold for the glory of God. He's teaching that multitude sitting upon that seashore that they need to have an accepting faith. An accepting faith that not everybody you minister the Word of God to is going to get saved. We've got so many believers today. Man, I've been praying for this one. I've been preaching to this one. I've been witnessing this one. And this and my husband, my wife, and my people, my co-workers. And this, we have got to accept it, folks. Not everybody we minister the Word of God to is going to accept it and believe it and be born again. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 7, "Few there be that find it." Talking about salvation and the kingdom of God in heaven. Few there be that find it. It ain't as many people going to heaven as we think it is. And so we've got to accept the fact that not everybody I minister to is going to get saved. But I also must accept the fact by faith. Some will accept it. Some will believe it. Some will be born again. And some will produce fruit, some 30-fold, 60-fold, and some 100-fold for the glory of God. And we don't know who's going to get saved and who ain't. Amen. That ain't our business. Amen. That's God's business. It's our business to be busy sowing the seed. So we've got to accept it by faith. Amen. As I continue in the work of the Lord, that some's going to be saved and some is not. That's not my responsibility. And then he teaches them another parable about faith. He says you take a candle and you light that candle. You don't put the candle under a bushel. You put the candle on a candlestick so that all that's in the house can see the candle. And those that are in darkness, they are attracted to the light. Their eyes will turn and look upon that light. And what he is saying is, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. Our light and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ should be attractive, amen, to others, to those that are sitting in darkness and bondage. We should be having an attractive faith. I mean, brethren, it's a sad occasion when the people you work with or the people you go to school with know that you go to church and you claim to be a Christian, but you're always down and out or fussing and cussing. Our faith should be attracting those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be attracting them to come out of the darkness and be drawn to the light of the Lord Jesus. So he's teaching them we need to have an accepting faith. We need to have an attractive faith. And then the next parable he teaches that multitude on the seashore, he teaches them about a farmer. He says a farmer, Brother Arndt, takes a seed of corn. Now that farmer don't know how this works, but he takes that kernel of corn and he puts it in the ground. And he waits. He just waits. Night and day he waits. But all of a sudden there comes that blade shooting up, amen. And boy, he's amazed. But he knows he just sits and waits, amen. He don't understand all it. It's a mystery. And brother, before long it puts forth a little ear. And before long he's just patiently waiting, amen. Before long that ear puts upon the kernel. And before long, it ain't long, he puts forth the sickle. But that farmer's smart enough. He don't understand all that works. That's a mystery to him. That's the mystery of the gospel, amen. We don't understand it all. But brother, he does understand one thing. If I'm going to thrust in the sickle and reap a harvest, I've got to have an active faith and I must be planting the seed. I don't know if you've noticed this, church. Lost people ain't beating down the door to come to church. They ain't in him. They out there. So we must go to the fields that are ripe on the harvest, and we must be busy sowing the seeds. We have got to have an active faith, not a dead faith, amen, but an active faith. And this is what Jesus is teaching the multitude there. He says we need to have an attractive faith, an active faith, and an acceptive faith. And then he teaches them another parable. And the last parable is, he says, you take a grain, a seed of mustard. And he said, it's the smallest of all seeds. But you plant that seed and it grows to be the largest of all herbs. It even puts forth branches. And the fowls of the air come and lodge in its branches and find solitude and shelter in its shadows, in its shade. He's teaching now that we need to have an effective faith. Our lives should be affecting the lives of others. Our life and the Lord Jesus Christ and being Christians, amen. He says, go, 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 amen. Go and minister the gospel. But also, amen, we need to be providing them and ministering to their physical needs that they can find some comfort and some rest, amen. That we're actually practicing what we say we believe. Jesus fed the multitudes and they found shelter. And so this is what he's been teaching the multitudes all day. And all that's in chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark. And he's teaching them that they need to have an accepting faith. And they got to have an attractive faith and an active faith and an effective faith. So he's been teaching on faith. But now we come to our text. And now he's fixing to test their faith. See, folks, we come here and we get taught so much. But did you know you are personally responsible for what you have learned? All the Word of God, Brother Mark, and your Sunday school teachers and everybody teaches you, you're responsible for God. And brother, now we're fixing to see the testing of faith. Because you see, our faith is not tested in the calm waters and the harbors of safety. Our faith is not tested upon the mountaintops. Our faith is tested in the open oceans of life and the trials and the tribulations and the troubles. And brother, he says in 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice it's the trial of your faith. God is going to put your faith to the test. And it's not for God to know what kind of faith you got. Because if you saved, God knows He saved you. Amen. God knows what kind of faith you got. It's for you to know what kind of faith you got. And even the Bible says, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith or not. See, some of us may be deceived by traditions and religions of rituals of religion. Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith or not. He said, test yourself. Test. So we see Jesus has been teaching upon faith, and now we come to our text, and now we're fixing to have the test of faith. Verse 35. When eve was come, he said to them, that's his 12 disciples, let us pass over into the other side. Now, brethren, faith always starts with a word from God. There is a popular modern-day definition of faith that I totally disagree with, and it's believing it so when it's not so in order for it to be so. Well, listen, brother, it don't matter how much you believe it to be so, it'll never be so if God ain't ordained it so. Faith, biblical faith, starts with a word from God. And obedience to God's word, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the trials and tribulations in life, in spite of all of that, amen. And you just walk in obedience to the word of God, and brother, till God brings it to pass because God said He would. That's faith. He says, get in the boat. Let us pass over to the other side. Why you want us to get in the boat? I didn't ask you why I said get in the boat. Just get in the boat. Well, Lord, why you? I just get in the boat. He said, my sheep hear my words and they follow me. They don't argue with me. But our problem is, we call ourselves people of faith, but unless we got all the T's crossed and I's dotted and calculated and strategized, we ain't going to do nothing. Just get in the boat. Why? Because God said so, amen. Faith begins with a word from God. We're going to the other side. He gives them a word. Get in the boat. See, our problem is we know too much. We know, matter of fact, we know everything. Just ask us. We'll Google it. Amen. That's right. I mean, brother, with the world's knowledge is in the palm of our hand on our smartphone, and all we got to do is touch it and ask it what we want, and we'll give you the answer. We know everything. Even our cars today, talk. We ain't all got a talking car. We was driving, I was doing a meeting up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and my wife, Terilyn, was driving, and we was north of Dallas somewhere, and she said, we was looking for a particular something to eat or something, and she said, ask the car. I said, what? She said, ask. I said, talk to the car? I said, how dumb is that? She said, just touch it right here and ask it, and so I touched it, and I asked the car a question. Now, boy, you're talking about feeling dumb. Anyway, I asked my car a question. You know what my car said? Ask me later. It did. I said, man, I got a car with an attitude. Ask me later. You see, our problem is we know what you know. But brethren, it would do you good not to know some stuff. See, none of us knows what kind of trials and tribulations is waiting for us outside that door. If we really knew what the storm we was fixing to get in, some of you would go home this morning and you would overdose on Maalox and nerve pills, worrying about it. See, do you good not to know some stuff. We don't know what the future holds. You know what Jesus said? Don't worry about tomorrow. It's got enough trouble for itself. We need to focus on today. And lost person, you might be saying, well, I'm going to get saved next week. I'll get saved next month. I'm going to get saved when he gets where. I'm going to tell you what. Today's the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. Today. You know, one guy told me, he said, if I knew where I was going to die, I would never die. I said, how you figured that? He said, I just wouldn't go there. But you see, we don't know where we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know how we're going to die. And Sister Anita told me about Brother Elmo passing away. I didn't know. See, we don't know those things. See, and it would do you good not to know some stuff. Jesus said to his disciples, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. This is the point I'm trying to make right here. Jesus knew there was a storm out there, but he did not tell his disciples. He just said, get in the boat. Now, let me just put my sermon in a nutshell before we get going. If I was to say Jesus is sovereign over Satan, what would you say? Amen. I mean, Colossians 1, verse 15, 16, 17. He is before all things. By him all things exist. And all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. He created everything. He's even got sovereign authority over Satan. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We know all that. And I can preach on that. Amen. You'll be jumping up and down. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Yes. Jesus is bigger than the devil. Woo, amen. Boy, we ain't got no problem believing that. But our problem is believing he is sovereign over my storm. See, we got no problem believing he's sovereign over Satan. We just don't think he's sovereign over my storm. Get in a boat. Jesus knows there's a storm out there, but he don't tell them. You know why? Why should they worry about it? Heaven and earth's going to pass away, but my word shall abide forever. We're going to the other side. That's a word. Not only do we see the word, the next thing we see is the witness. Notice in the next verse there, in verse 36, it said that multitude, remember that multitude sitting on the bank over there when Jesus and his disciples got in the boat and shoved off, and brother, they all run down the bank, they got in boats and they paddled out there. Now Jesus is fixing to put their faith to the test, and their faith is fixing to be put on public exhibition. Listen, God don't just save you to keep you out of hell. God saves you to live in you and through you right here, right now, that brother, your light would be piercing the darkness. That others would know that you're a child of God and you'd be sowing some seeds and others would be attracted to your faith and come also to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and they would be born again and in that God is glorified. And so now all them other people get in the boat and they're walking and they paddle out there because they're watching those disciples because they've been being taught about faith all day. And now Jesus is fixing to put their faith on public exhibition. And I don't want to tell you right here long, but brethren, the greatest place that we can be exhibiting our faith is in our homes, in our marriages, spouses, loving each other like we ought to love each other in the presence of our children, exhibiting our faith, because it'll do you no good to bring your children to church on Sunday and go home and cuss them on Monday. They see the hypocrisy. See, it'll do you no good to go out there and go to church on Sunday and tell everybody at work what a good Christian you are if you go home and live like the devil behind closed doors. Our faith is putting put on public exhibition even in the privacy of our homes. And we got to leave it there before we can go out and effectively leave it out here for the glory of God. Others are watching. Others are watching. Not only see the word and the witness, but look at the next verse 37. We see the wind. The wind, verse 37. There rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat to the ship, so that it was now full. Look at the wind. Brother Mark, if I was going to title a sermon, I'm going to title this sermon, A Boatload of Baptists. He told them, get in the boat. They got in the boat. Jesus knows there's a storm out there. They didn't know there's a storm out there. They get out there and they get in this storm, great storm. Now, everybody knows what to do in a storm. Now, in this storm, you got Peter and Andrew. They are fishermen. They're brothers. They know how to fish. They've been in storms before. These are seasoned sailors. They know what to do in storms. John and James, the sons of Zebedee, were in the fishing business with their father Zebedee. They know how to fish. They've been in storms before. They are experienced sailors. They know what to do. And Peter's always a, you know, the put your foot in the mouth kind of guy, take charge, you know, big brawny guy. You know, we see it all through the scriptures, you know. And I mean, that's just his, you know, his makeup, you know. And she's, all right, everybody listen to me. This is what we're going to do. Now, everybody get a paddle, start paddling on this side of the boat. And you listen to me, I'll get us through this storm. Ain't nothing to it. We'll make it. Now, just get a paddle and everybody get on this side of the boat and start paddling. Now, John's a methodical kind of guy. You know, he's a thinker and a humble guy. And he says, now, Brother Peter, I I've been in storms before too. Yeah, but you listen, I know what to do. Remember, wait a minute, Brother Peter. Now, I think some of us need to get a paddle and paddle on this side of the boat. No, listen, I'm telling you, John, I know what to do. Listen, Brother Peter, I know you know what to do, but I also know what to do. And then Andrew says, now listen, John, don't you talk to my brother like that. And James jumps up, now don't you talk to my brother like that. Sounds like a badness bidding meeting, doesn't it? See, in a storm, everybody knows what to do. Just ask them. And Peter says, now Bartholomew, you get a bucket and you start bailing this thing out. Now the boat's filling up. It's your job. Every time I look at you, I want you to be pulling water out of this boat. You understand? Yes, sir. He's a bailing water. Matthew's a hanging on the mast. He don't know what to do. He's just scared. Amen. He's a tax collector. He said, somebody do something. I'm sick. Amen. I'm scared. And Thaddeus says, look, let down the sail and let the wind drive us. And Judas says, no, we can't do that. It'll rip the sail and break the mast. And this is a borrowed boat. And that'd be a God waste of... That'd be a waste of God's money. We can't be wasting God's money like that. We're supposed to be good stewards of God's money. And then Bartholomew says, Thomas, get a bucket and help me bail this thing out. And he says, I doubt this don't do any good. And the boat is now full. The boat's now full. And brother, they're aggravated, they're frustrated, and they're blaming each other. Sounds like a lot of Baptist churches, I know. The boat is now full. If you'd have just listened to me, I could have got us through this. No, if you'd have listened to me. I knew what to do. You don't know it. No, if you'd listen to me. They're sitting there blaming each other. And the boat's full. But look at the watchman in the next verse. We see the watchman. He's asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Now, folks, he's asleep. But notice where he's... You know why he's asleep? He ain't worried about that storm. And another reason he's asleep, he is waiting for them to exhaust themselves, their resources, their intellect, their ability, and all that's at their fleshly disposal, their knowledge and all that they can be, their ability. He's just waiting for them to get reduced to the state of hopelessness. the boat is now full. And Jesus is asleep. Listen, in the hinder part of the ship. You know why he's in the hinder part of the ship? That's where you navigate the ship. He might be asleep, folks, but he's still sovereign. He's got it right on course. He said, we're going to the other side, folks. And brother, his word's eternal. They're going to make it in spite of their circumstances, in spite of the storm. You see, that's what faith is. Getting a word from God and walking obedience to that word in spite of what you see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the other side. He's asleep on the hinder part of the ship. Now there's two good points in this verse. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now here's two good points. Another one, first one is, they knew who he was. Master. They called upon him. Oh, even in the storm, they still knew who he was, folks. Master. Not only did they know who he was, they know where he was. And they went to him. See, when you get saved, you might get aggravated and frustrated and trying to handle problems yourself and trying to do things yourself and trying to fix everything in your marriage and your work and you know, and all of that. You're trying to fix it. And it's like the more we fix it, the bigger it gets. And we're going to fix this and we're going to fix that. And just getting more and more out of control in our life gets out of control. Amen. And then we think, God don't even care about my life. No, he's waiting for you to exhaust yourself. Till you get to the place where there's nothing else I can do. My boat is full. Before you will earnestly turn to him and call upon him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Yes, he cares. He said, cast your every care upon me because I care for you. But brethren, he's waiting for us to call. See, some of us here this morning, you're saved and you know you're saved, but you see, your test of faith, you've been failing the test of faith. Your boat is full and you're aggravated and frustrated in your Christian walk and Christian life. And brother, you've been doing all this stuff yourself and your boat is full. Acknowledge the Master today. And so, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Help me. But some of you here are lost. Some of you here are lost. Your boat is full. And you don't know him as Master. And you're troubled. And you're afraid. And you don't know what to do. And you don't know where to turn. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Come unto me, all ye laboring and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Oh, listen, lost person. Man, you've been trying to fix your life and fix your trouble and fix your trials and fix all of that. And the more you're working on it, the bigger it's getting. And you know you're in a full boat and your boat's going down. You need to acknowledge the Master today. Acknowledge him. You see, when you get saved, you get in the boat with Jesus. And we're saved out by faith. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by faith. And when you get saved and obedience to his word, when he says come, and you receive him as Lord and Savior, you're getting in the boat with him. But when you get in the boat with him, he said, we're going to the other side. The other side's heaven. But between here and heaven is the ocean of life. And that ocean of life is vast and wide. And that ocean of life is full of storms. And we don't know when we're going to sail into them or sail out of them. See, we don't know those things. But we do know who we know and where we're going. And that brings a peace. But see, some of you are right here in this building. You don't know him. And you don't know where you're going. You're like a cork floating in the open ocean of life, bobbing around, tossed to and fro with all the storms. And you're at the place of desperation and despair and such discouragement, and you don't know where to turn. Turn to the Master. Because you see, not only do we see the Word and the witness and the wind and the watchman, but look at this next verse in verse 39. We see the wonder. He said in verse 39, he arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace be still. And that was a great comment. Listen, when you get saved, you get in the boat with Jesus. And brother, He becomes the shepherd of our soul. He's the lily in the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's our shield, our buckler, our high tower, our all in all and everything. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Nathan. He's our rock, our refuge. He's our very present help in trouble. Amen. And they finally, as they was exhausted and exhausted their ability and resources, Master, they had nowhere else to turn. Master, don't you care that we perish? I do remember reading, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He cares. He cares for your soul today. He's made provision for your soul today, for your safety through the storm. Now look at this peace. He said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Listen, over there we read it was a great wind, a great storm, but here there's a great calm. The storm never supersedes the Savior. There's a song we sang, Brother Greg. When the waves is over our head, they're under His feet. He is sovereign over our storm. We just don't believe it. We just don't believe it. Now, we got no problem believing He's sovereign over Satan. Amen. But we really don't believe He's sovereign over our storm. But that's where your faith is tested. Tested. Peace. Be still. How is it that... Have y'all noticed the world's fixing to blow up? I mean, folks, politically, the world's coming apart. I go to these countries. I go to Muslim countries. Brother, I'll be in six countries next year preaching. And, brother, the world politically is coming apart. I mean, you got dictators trying to take over. ISIS is trying to unify the Arab nations to be a totalitarianism government again. And when they get all that unified, they're going to march on Israel. Brother, I'm telling you, the world's fixing to blow up politically. It's coming apart now, unraveling now. The world is unraveling environmentally. Why we got Ebola and all this other stuff and diseases. They said by January, if this stuff can't get under contain, it's going to kill 1.5 million people. That's more than AIDS has killed in 10 years. The world is coming apart socially. And brother, we've got nation rising against nation and ethnic groups and racism. And brother, it's coming apart economically. Economically, nations are collapsing. And brother, I'm telling you, the world is coming apart environmentally. Every which way, the world's fixing to blow up. And the Christian's got a spring in his step, a joy in his heart, and a smile on his lip, and a song. Amen. They say, you crazy Christian, don't you know the world's going to blow up? Yes, when it blows up, I'm going home. Amen. I ain't worried about it. He done told us it's going to blow up. Well, what's wrong? You don't believe Him? See, a Christian's got peace. My peace ain't in their politics. My peace ain't in the next president. My peace ain't in the next regime. My peace ain't in the economy, whether up or down. My peace ain't in all of that. My peace is in Christ. Jesus said, peace I give unto you. Not as the world give you with all that temporal stuff. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it. Brother, when you've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God and you get in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to His Word, He says, you go into the other side. Whosoever believeth on me shall never, 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 never perish. Amen. And brother, I'm even praying, come Lord Jesus and blow it up today. I'm ready to go home. But some of y'all don't have that peace. You're saying, oh, preacher, don't talk like that. It might work. So is your heart troubled? So if your heart's troubled over a phrase like that, you need to be here this morning saying, Lord, give me peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. The kind of peace I can only have in knowing You in a relationship that religion hasn't given me. Jesus, Master, carest Thou not that I perish? Yeah, He said, you put your faith in Him, you'll never perish. He cares. And then here's the last thing, the wonder of it all, and I'll quit. The wonder. Verse 40. Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? He's talking to His disciples. He'd been teaching them all day about faith. And they tested their faith, and they failed. Oh, I look at my own life, folks, and I fail so many times. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Did I tell you to get in this boat? Yes, sir. Did I tell you we were going to the other side? Yes, sir. Have I left you? No, sir. Ain't I in this boat with you? Yes, sir. Then what's your trouble? He said, I'll tell you what your trouble is. You really don't believe what you say you believe. And there it is. Many of us in this building today, we really don't believe what we say we believe. If we did, we wouldn't be unfaithful, uncommitted, and living our life the way we're living our life. In disrespect to our God. How is it you have no faith? And folks, disobedience to His Word is what allows fear to creep in. Because disobedience to the Word of God is sin. And some of us just simply need to get on this altar and say, God, I want to come this morning and I'm calling upon You. You know the trouble that's in my life. You know the storm I'm going through. And Lord, I need peace. I need peace. Your peace. And some of you just simply lost. You're lost and you don't know the Lord. You can come this morning and say, Lord, save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? From the wrath of God when this world does blow up. And it's a coming soon. Let's pray. Father, today, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have today to just expound upon Your Word. And Lord, we know there's hearts today that are heavy. Hearts today that are troubled in fear. But Lord, when we get saved, You have given us a spirit of fear, but of readiness and sound mind. Lord, today, may Your Spirit in this invitation be brooding upon us. Lord, many of us that has a full boat today, our boat is full. We're acknowledging our boat is full. But Lord, we need to come and acknowledge You. You. Help me, Lord. Help me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing what number, brother? 504. So we stand to sing. The pastor will be here. If you want to pray with him, talk with him, counsel with him, he's available. Brother Mark will be here. The altars are open. How is it you have no faith as we sing?